This call is being recorded.
Hello.
Hi, Carolyn.
Hi, Linda. I can barely hear you.
Hi, is that a bit better?
A little bit.
Yeah, we've got it on the speakerphone, so.
Oh.
We've had lots of apologies for the call today, so I'm not terribly sure who's actually going to end up on this call.
Okay. It sounds like Pete is having borehole problems.
Too good. Because the load shedding that we've been having here has been pretty bad over the last month or so.
What?
Can I just
say again?
We've been having quite a few problems. Outages. I think that's caused the problem, which is very annoying.
Hey, Crispin. Hear me?
Hello.
How are you doing? Daniel's online.
Hey. I am. I'm here.
Good, thanks.
Daniel, you're the only person I can hear well.
Can you hear us well?
And now.
How are you doing, Garden?
Good. How are you?
I'm going to ask Tariro. Crispin, we're going to mute you. There's a bit of crackle there. So if you need to say anything, just unmute yourself. Going from there. So we're going to give it probably another minute or so. I know Pete and Carolyn have, Christine, have made their apologies. And John is busy with a course today, so I'm doubting he's going to make it.
Yeah,
as is Rob. So and Malekwe has made her apologies too.
Yeah.
So in fact, in light of that, probably the best idea is not to wait, but to get going on things. I'm assuming everybody's ready to go. That's great. So running through the agenda for the day, Tariro, you just want to get us running with the agenda?
Well, the agenda for the day, feedback from the tutor and with the current status of BCs. And the third one is what are the implications of limiting BCs to only accept test outcomes, either from the manual testing process or from automated laboratory equipment or machines. Second one, TTI testing, and the last one is ABO steroid testing.
Fantastic, thanks. Are there any other items of business we'd like to add to the agenda? If there are, feel free to add it, send it through to us via the chat in Uber Conference. We'd be happy to hear that too. All right, moving forward then, we may have a short call, we may have a long call, depending how we go. So for those not on the call and for the recording, we got back from Lesotho, well, I got back from Lesotho on Friday after spending a week with the LBTS team and the AADB team, who are the technical partner for Lesotho Blood Services, really looking at this plan for Lesotho over the next period and also how far they've come and what they've done with the version of BCIS that was implemented in January last year. So it was quite a good trip. We also managed to have a look particularly at the workflows of mobile clinics and discuss a bit about any implications that may have with the BSSP tool. But systematically running through this, and Crispin, if I missed something, please feel free to chime in. I'm going to call on you at the end if there's something else we're just jumping around. We're excited to continue working with the LBTS in the whichever fashion we can to continue the beta implementation testing. The team worked under the guidance of Crispin to really run through some of the operational validation testing and also build out their use cases and test cases to test the tool and create a framework and a structure to which we will continue to evaluate the tool for its operational performance when deployed. So all in all, BCIS has continued to operate and run in the center itself on a laptop over the network. And they have probably in the region, I'm going to say about 200 active donors in the system itself with active test donations, which is a really nice test base for us to leverage. Daniel may confirm or criticize that number, maybe higher than I'm quoting after having a look at the dump that we brought back of the database. All in all, the team have been focusing and trying to test and utilize the system itself. And what we did come back with was above and beyond the original verbal feedback that we had engaging with the system. Crispin worked with the team to come up with formal test cases. And he's really focused around the capturing of donors, the capturing of donations, and the capturing of tests and laboratory results. Every team has had feedback come in. We're engaging with it and understanding where there are features that are acceptable and challenges for us to start looking at and addressing. I do believe that some of these are already addressed in the recent what we call technical debt release that we've done as we started the project again. But we're looking forward to identifying what the other areas are that we can address. And some of the exciting feedback that we got, for example, was rigorous testing and examples where the team were able to register a donor, able to change their gender that had been safely assigned on registration. So that's great feedback for us in the technical. As well as a glitch that we saw in the original version that you can edit a donor's demographic information, but it wasn't persisting to the database. You would lose that. And I believe that has been fixed in our current version. It's a bit challenging for us to have them testing an older version, knowing that we're just releasing a new version, but we're very excited to look at the roadmap, which is what we're working on with our team at the moment, as to when we could deploy a revised version of BSIS in Lesotho for them to continue the next generation of testing. So from a performance level, the server itself, the little laptop that we've got is still there. Lesotho has got its equipment, its hardware already, it's got its label printers, its barcode scanners. They are not deployed and installed, so that will be the next step for us to maybe engage a bit with them as a team to see how they take that forward. They are working things up and getting it ready, and we were able to fix one of the label printers to actually print the updated barcodes that we needed, which is good. From a equipment perspective, there seems to be on the ability of the team who's evaluating to utilize the system. They're very much aware of it and engaging with it, and were able to show me how to do things, which is even fantastic, which is great. And we're looking forward to continuing some discussions with them. I think Linda, Daniel, myself, and Ronwin will be talking about setting up some to find out a bit ahead. I want to pause there and just give an opportunity for any questions on that and any comments.
So if I heard you correctly, you all are working on a roadmap that will be a kind of a schedule going forward of is it going to go all the way to installing version 1 in Lesotho? I mean, will it include training and so forth? I have no idea what the schedule is. I have a lot of work to do, and I haven't started yet.
Thanks for that. We're busy building that. We're trying to understand exactly what is going to be there and what's going to be in. And we will be engaging with you as that is coming back. So some of the roadmap is what we're going to roll out when we decide and work backwards from those requirements from the software side to the larger side of the implementation, which is all the training material, the other documentation around it. And we'll work back towards the requirements and then forward from there towards the reality of scheduling that work to happen. We may assume that we could roll out a BSIS version at a particular month, only to work back as to all the work that needs to go into the training and the documentation, and then through your availability as well as the rest of the teams to find out that needs to go out another month or so to accommodate for that work there. So we haven't forgotten about that, and we are going to be working that up.
All right.
One of the interesting things that actually came up and I was able to experience was how the Lesotho team engages with the mobile clinics. And that has brought back some very interesting ideas for us to look at from a thesis perspective, the assumptions of mobile clinics that are being made, and also the reliance on particular equipment. So we were at a field site with no power. That we needed some way of continuing to charge the laptops that we'd originally recommended. And while we've got the plans for a laptop approach towards mobile clinics, I think what we're also looking to consider is we need to be aware of the viability of these different types of tools. And much to the agreement of the GMB team, I'm throwing a few fun ideas out here about potentially looking at in the future versions of BSIS integrating true mobile technology. So smartphones and or like tablet features to better accommodate the workflows in a mobile clinic itself. So as that becomes more within the roadmap towards the latter part of this funding period, we'll have a better understanding as to when it will be available and what we're going to be doing around that. But it was really interesting to make sure we also are very cognizant of the HR impact of introducing an electronic tool for mobile sites and for blood services, and what that impact may actually have on their HR costing models, that somebody engaging with electronic tool may need to be qualified as a different type of employee, and that may adjust their salary bands to take things forward. So we're not trying to limit anybody's growth in an organization or a blood service. We do need to be aware, though, of what we're proposing to blood services in implementation and how we structure the engagement with the tool. It would be a bad assumption to assume that everybody on the mobile site is directly engaging with an electronic tool that is synchronizing information permanently on an ongoing basis. It's just not a feasible approach. So all in all, the site visit to Lesotho was very informative from a design perspective, and we're looking very much forward to adjusting our roadmaps in light of what we've learned and any revised strategies that we're able to come up with over the next week or so. That has also been approved by John and Adam, who arrive here at GMB tomorrow. But I'm not sure if there's anything from your side that you want to raise or comment on from the Lesotho visit. So with that said, if there are any questions from the Lesotho visit, please feel free to raise them. For those listening on the recording, please feel free to email us, use the mailing list, or email us directly. We'd be happy to respond on there. And moving on to the next point, so I'm going to hand over to Linda to curate this. The next agenda item is the current status of these.
Okay, so we're currently in the middle of Sprint 15. And work sort of going according to plan. There's still a lot of work on what we call technical debt, as Carl referred to. So a lot of work around better error handling, because I know that was some of the feedback that we saw in your feedback forms. So there's work going on that. There's work going on refactoring the code so that it's consistent throughout, which means better maintainability in the future. And then we've also been working on some additional features. A couple of the things that we've been working on is the password and account recovery options. Also being able to use both coded values and quantitative values for the hemoglobin value. We're also looking at introducing a very simple means of access to view the audit trail. Just very simple at the moment, but at least it gives someone with the right level of access, the ability to actually go and see what's been happening at a system level in terms of who's been making what changes. Also been doing quite a lot of work actually around the configuration side. So that's in terms of what the system administrator is able to set up and manage through the user interface. So that's just a summary of where we're at the moment. Also been looking very much at the reporting requirements. So also thanks to CRISPN for sending back with Carl all those example reports. And so we've been going through that and comparing those in the system and what we've also identified as requirements. So that's what we're focusing on currently.
Christine,
sorry, all these Chris's and Christine's and CRISPN's. And I don't know if there's anything you want to add to that, Daniel.
No, I think you've covered it all. I think, even at the end of this sprint, which is next week, we should have some good work into the repository. That refactoring stuff has been really valuable to just make sure that everything's kind of consistent, consistently named throughout the code base. Yeah, thanks.
And for anybody who's on the recording, please feel free to mail us. We are also trying to keep our wiki updated with where we move these forward on. The next item was really a bit of feedback and questions that we wanted to raise, and we'll probably raise this again with our safety experts and our QCP. A bit of process and policy, process and responsibility to update miners. While part of what we're taking on as GMB is the development of a safe flood safety information system, and safe for more than just the flood itself, but also for the organizations and the responsibilities for the implementers, technical providers, and flood services themselves. So with these hacks that we're going to take the project forward with, we will be revising and revisiting some decisions made over a year ago, or even earlier than that, as new information comes to light for us to take forward. So we're very grateful for the team who continues to work with us, and we know that there are some things you just don't know that you don't know until you get there. With that said, what we did have a look at in Lesotho was the requirement and the original design assumption that BSIS would interpret good results to an outcome around testing. And what we're looking at the moment is actually revisiting that decision because of the implication it has on BSIS actually needing to be close to an FDA-validated medical device. It increases the information system's risk for the blood service, as well as tries to assume that BSIS is smarter than the well-trained laboratory technicians. What we're revisiting at the moment is to focus and prioritize on BSIS storing the outcomes of a testing process, and not the interpretation of inputted results towards an outcome. That way, ensuring that, firstly, the blood service maintains its authority and responsibility for the interpretation of results, and the information system curates that information, but also that the tool itself and the implementations, there's a lot of liability in assuming to do that, and we'll probably find ourselves putting the tool further out as we then need to go through the more formal accreditation process. So at the moment, we're going to be focusing on the storing of outcomes. So the final results of testing, not the intermediary inputted results of the process of the test going forward. And we'll be relying on the accreditation process of the blood service to ensure that there is a mechanism of tracing the auditability of what those original test results were that were interpreted to create the outcome that was stored in BSIS. That is the current stance at which we have at the moment. So with that said, I'm going to pause. Carolyn, any questions or comments yourself? And Daniel, if you want to add or comment on any of that. Yes, Daniel, anything yourself?
Yeah, I think you've covered it pretty well. If there's any kind of questions or feedback, I'm happy to add some response as well.
Fantastic. As in all things, for those on the recording, we do encourage you to email and contact us for further discussions. This decision is not made lightly, and we'll be going to our quality control panel, as well as our safety experts and understanding what we're taking ahead, and we will be looking at, we look at it from a multifaceted perspective, and we're trying to understand the exposure and the reliance and the impact of these sort of decisions from a legal perspective, the standard operation perspective, training, accountability, so on and so forth. So we're taking these ideas forward, and we'll keep the team updated as we move ahead. Well, with that said, that brings us to the end of the agenda items for today's call. The only other one that I will mention is that we do have John and Adam joining us today, tomorrow actually. They will be in Cape Town. They'll be spending some time here at the GMB office, so we're looking forward to hosting them. And also, we'll see, I believe, Daniel's meeting with John later this afternoon to run through a few things. Unless there are any other agenda items, I think we may be able to give everybody half an hour in the day back.
Nothing from me.
Great.
Nothing for me.
Like one of the items, just obviously not everybody has said nothing, I'm going to throw on the list. As we move forward, one of the strategies that we're going to be looking at approaching BSIS with is an evolutionary approach to the information system, is what we've had in mind from the beginning. And we've been trying to focus towards is incremental rollouts of feature sets that would be safe and ready to be implemented in field. Carolyn, giving you a bit of a heads up, we'll probably look at engaging with you as we know what this will look like in the next few weeks. Align our implementation and training materials and approach to this evolutionary approach towards an information system. And every rollout needs to account, as we're all aware, for the operational and performance qualifications of the features that are rolled out. So if we roll out donor management this month and 2 months later we roll out the inventory control, how do we incrementally adjust our training and training set ahead? So we'll be engaging, and just to put that out there, I think we can expect some conversations from Linda and Ronwin in the next 2-3 weeks.
Okay.
Well, with that said, everybody have a lovely morning. Karen, thanks for making the call all the way from the US. Crispin, I hope you're not too hot, and Gaborone, and from the Jembi team, we look forward to seeing you in cyberspace.
Bye.
Bye. Cheers.